This conference will...
Great. Okay, so what I want to talk about today is a little booklet that's coming out, or is already out. Glenn Head, who a lot of you are probably familiar with the last name. You may not know who Glenn is, but Glenn works for Network Marketing University. He's like the dean of Network Marketing University, which is through Network Marketing Times. And so he's found himself a job in the networking industry, as, of course, his wife is the is a presidential in Manitec and has been so for years. I think she became a presidential real early on, maybe 1996 or something like that. I might be a year or two off, but real early. She was part of the company up front. And I think she's under Marion Culhane, who is a great leader in this company as well. But Glenn decided to write a book, and he wrote a piece. It's called Plan C, and he's been sending it to me for review, and I'm you know, reviewing one specific section for him. And anyway, he's a wonderful guy. I mean, these two are just wonderfully super people. If you know Glenn or Marion, wow. In fact, Marion was the head of the advisory council for a couple of years, and just a marvelous people. And what he's done is he put together this booklet called Plan C, and it's the booklet, the purpose of the booklet was really for you to share with somebody that's considering joining your business. So it wouldn't be, it's not a lead-in piece to hand out to people, but it's a piece that you could share with somebody if they're saying, well, I'm still looking at it, I'm not sure this is what I want to do, but I'm looking at it. I mean, it would be something you might send to somebody that's in contemplation about considering joining your business from a business perspective. This is not a consumer booklet. This is for somebody looking at it as a potential business opportunity. And I think Glenn's done a very good job of covering a lot of issues in that little booklet. It's not a long read. It's a short read. And it's available for anyone. You can get it at www.revolutionarychoices.com/Manitec. The price is $4.97. You buy it one time, and you can use it with anyone considering joining your business. He asks you not to share it with other associates in that, you know, it's the purpose of it is that it's to be bought by associates and then used in your business. But obviously it's a great tool to have in your stash that you can forward out to people from time to time. And I would put it in my email attachment booklet for forwarding it out to help people understand our business better. Okay, so that's, and what I want to do is just review some of it because I think some of the material in it is awesome for us. I mean, it's just something, and I combined it with some of my own ideas, so not 100% of what you see in the outline today is coming from Glenn's book, because some of it just kind of started oozing out of me as I was outlining this, and I thought, oh, I need to put this in here, because maybe you're just going to use what's in the outline today. That's fine, too. But it's important for us to, you know, have an idea, you know, give you some idea of what's in his book and how it can be used, and then, you know, some ideas for you for purposes of sharing with people on why network marketing, why today, why people need Plan C, right? And so what I want to do is just jump in and just kind of talk about some of the trends today, some of the languaging I'm using when I'm meeting with people and talking to people from a business perspective. And by the way, we're still working diligently on putting together a business video, because I think it's the one thing that is yet not complete with us in Manitec in terms of, you know, you meet somebody, you talk to them about what the opportunity is, and they go, yeah, give me some more information. And you kind of look around and you go, okay, what do I give next? Now you can go to Navigator, you can go, there are a lot of different things out there, but you're scrambling a little bit because we don't really have a Manitec business video, do we? I don't know. It's an intriguing concept. And what I might do is just kind of send out to all of you and see what are you doing when you present the business. And my suspicion is that majority that are on this call, like, you know, you reflect a cross-section of all Manitecers, like the majority across the entire company, probably aren't presenting the business opportunity very often. We tend to lead with product. Our XFMs are very product-driven. Extreme Food Makeovers isn't screaming, here's a business opportunity, right? So the idea is, like, we need to find those business builders. We need to start approaching people to do the business with us. So how are we doing that, and how can we do it effectively? Well, I worked with the Paula Pritchard materials. A lot of you have been on those calls since I met her at the National Convention of Network Marketing Professionals. That was, and I love her stuff. But one of the things is we still needed a presentation. So that's the missing element that we have that Lydia and I are piecing together. And so some of these statistics I'm going to talk about at Trends today are right out of what I'm building in my presentation about the business opportunity with Manitech. First of all, the Fast Company, this right out of their magazine, they said that by the year 2020, 40% of the U.S. population will either be temporary workers or entrepreneurs. This is a huge statistic, people, for you to utilize. I don't know if you've ever done trend analysis, but, you know, we always talk about it when we go out there and look at businesses and do business evaluations. And I used to be in the industry, by the way, when I was general counsel for Farmhouse Foods back in the, how long ago was that, in the 80s, okay? I know some of you weren't even born in the 80s on this call. But in the 80s when I was general counsel for Farmhouse Foods, one of the things we did is we are always in the marketplace buying and selling companies. And we always did, every single company we analyzed, we didn't just analyze it from a financial perspective, a market perspective, all these other aspects, but because we did a lot of analysis of whether it was something that we would be attracted and we thought had a great future. One was obviously a trend analysis because, you know, it goes back to the idea of if you would have bought a typewriter company like a year before the PCs came out, where would you be today? You'd be, you know, financially destitute because your company would have gone out of business. You would have lost every dime you invested in it because when you mention the word typewriter to somebody who's 5 to 10 years old, they don't even know what one is. They've never seen one. They've never heard of one. I mean, and we used to have them, when I was practicing law, my secretaries all had these electronic guru typewriters, right? I mean, that just shows you how old I am, too. But the idea is that it's a dying industry. Well, you want to be at the front end of a trend. And here's another great thing that you can talk to people about trend analysis is also talk about the baby boomer generation. The baby boomer generation basically changed this world. It changed the way the United States operated because the whole marketing scheme for most companies over the last 50 years has been following this baby boomer generation. Because that's where all the money's being spent. When all these baby boomers were children, my goodness, they had 18 new companies jump up in the children's. And then when they got into school, they had a whole other group of them. And then they consistently followed them. And over the last 10, 15 years, what has the country been, aiming at? How many new, senior citizen centers and, lifestyle places have you seen pop up? Silver slippers. I mean, I could name 100 things that have come out of nowhere just to interact and interface with that growing, aging population called the baby boomers because that's where the money is, right? In fact, there was a statistic out there that they represent less than 30% of the population, but over 70% of the net worth in this country is a baby boomer. So you're going to follow that generation. Well, the same thing that we look at, what's our newest trend that we see happening today that really started a while back, but it's trending in a big way. It's called the movement out of employee status. The concept that we've given up on this old industrial age concept of employees, and we're starting to see the trend being that the U.S. population of temporary workers and entrepreneurs is growing and going to be growing at a rapid pace over the next 5 to 8 years. So if you want to be a part of this trend, when do you want to get on board with it? You don't want to get on board with it at the end of it. You want to get on board with it at the beginning of it. You want to get on board with it now. You want to be able to interface with people and talk about this trend and say, you know, you get involved today as an entrepreneur in network marketing and doing what Manitech, you're going to be able to grab onto this swelling group of people that are entering into this industry because the job market's drying up. So it's important for us to look at that and understand that this is an incredible time to be involved in network marketing because of the growth that we see with people moving out of employment positions and into network marketing and entrepreneurships. The other thing is that all these population that's temporary workers, if they're temporary workers, what are they going to have a lot of time? What are they going to have a lot of free time, right? Because they're temporary workers. So they're not working full-time. They're not people that have a fixed job, per se. They have temporary hours. So they're going to have a lot of freedom to do something as a secondary level. So they can pick up network marketing as a second job. In fact, 58% of all people entering network marketing, do it to add a secondary source of income. So they're not doing it as their primary source of income. So huge trend that supports people getting involved with Manatech today, why they need to look at it today. The coming jobs war is just another one. Jim Clifton tells us in there that the entrepreneurs are going to be the saving grace of this company if we're going to maintain our status as number one in GDP, gross domestic product. Because we've seen over the years that the country that has the highest gross domestic product is the one that kind of controls the world and the world influence. The United States has been number one for years, and they've liked that role. I'm not sure we've served, you know, the best in that role. You know, I mean, we've had our issues. We've supported, you know, dictators like Noriega, and you know, and I don't want to get into the politics behind all the things that we've done that I would, you know, have tremendous disagreement with. I'm sure we all understand some of the history behind some of the things we've done in, I would call, perhaps abuse of power. But the idea is that we have, the nice thing about having that influence is that we can promote some of our values, our concept of the value of human life, our concept of, you know, the things that we are, that we feel are important, our strong faith-based country. You know, those are the kind of things that we like to have that sense of influence. Well, if China overtakes our GDP, they're going to become the number one influence in this world. And that's just by history we say that. That happens by historical reasons. We can see that happen, just like Great Britain was number one, and then all of a sudden we came up and ousted, had our Boston Tea Party, and we clearly moved ahead of them within, you know, 30, 40 years of or 50 years maybe of that event. But the important thing is that we want to know that we want to make sure that we understand the importance of us stepping into this role as entrepreneurs and the role we're going to play in the history of this company country going forward. The other aspect is employment no longer equates to job security. We know that. That's been true for many, many years. And when we talk about that, we talk about just looking at all the layoffs, looking at the companies. I like to talk about the way all these companies are being closed down. You know, when we saw the, and again, staying apolitical, not one way or the other, but, you know, Bain Capital, when a lot of attacks were on Mitt Romney during the presidential election. But the truth is that Bain Capital goes in, finds companies ailing, and shuts them down and moves them overseas. That's clearly what happens. That's part of the economic cycle that takes place, and so there isn't really we've lost that sense of being a part of something. We lost the personal touch of being part of something. I think there are a lot of companies that moved away from that. I think there's companies like Southwest Airlines, which is a classic servant leadership type company, which is awesome. People who work for that company tend to absolutely love their jobs like nothing else. They absolutely can't wait to get up in the morning and go to their job because they love the attitude that's pervasive there, which is it's an upside-down pyramid. In other words, the CEO serves the president serves the vice presidents serve the managers. It's like a reverse structure. And servant leadership, if you're not familiar with that, you ought to do some review and research on that. It's pretty cool. But the idea is that really doesn't happen in very many companies. Most companies are, you know, the employee doesn't come first. And I bet there are a lot of people on this call today that can say kudos to that, Mary Jo, because they, you know, the minute something happens badly, they cut back. And one of the things happening today in our country, if you're not aware of it, is the fact that corporations in our country are hoarding cash in gigantic ways. They're laid off all these people. They're unwilling to bring people back on, and they're just hoarding tons of cash. It's why the stock market is, you know, we talk about the economic crisis around the world today, yet our stock market is breaking all new highs because these companies are so flush with cash, and they're very profitable, but they refuse to hire. They're just not bringing new employees on. They're trying to, they make people work twice as hard. They're trying to be as efficient as possible and not bring, you know, help the employment situation here. That's their trend. That's where we are. So employment is no longer equates to job security. The only way you have job security is if you employ yourself. Then you're your own boss, right? A Time magazine article pointed out that the globalization and technology are shifting, eliminating millions of jobs and systematically destroying the American dream. And that's very true. And I kind of thought, we think we know what the American dream is, but I thought, well, let me look it up and just like Google it and see what it is. And I read some of the definitions of the American dream, just to give you some. The American ideal of a happy and successful life to which all may aspire. The notion that the American social, economic, and political system makes success possible for every individual. The ideals of freedom, equality, and opportunity traditionally held to be available to every American. And the widespread aspiration of Americans to live better than their parents did. These are four definitions I came up with, and some of them I think don't perhaps hold a reality, a light to reality of what's going on today. So it's you know, there are a lot of things that are destroying our American dream, but don't those sound like beautiful things? I mean, isn't that what to me would be the notion that the American social, economic, and political system makes success possible for every individual. That I would love to have inherent in our society. But it's tough today. It's tough. So the American dream is being destroyed by the shifting and globalization of technology that's shifting the market out of the United States and into other locales. So a lot of shifts that have caused that to go. The social entrepreneurship is projected to be one of the most effective business models of the 21st century. I think it's very important now to talk about what is the comeuppance, what's coming, right? And that's what's important, social entrepreneurship, and to really understand that. And I'm going to tell you people that 2.5 years ago when Sam first brought this to all of us, it was a little bit awkward for people. But I'm going to suggest to you that it is so entrenched in the company today, there's no one that goes around without speaking that same language. I mean, it is who we are. It is our identity, and it's... And you're going to see some incredible presentations that manifest that will knock your socks off around social entrepreneurship. As truly the model, it's who we are. We're not, this gets into the fact, are we a network marketing company or are we a social entrepreneur company? We've displaced the MLM or network marketing concept with social entrepreneurship, and that's a neat way of looking at it. Are you one of the over, here's some other great statistics. Are you one of over 800 million around the world who have never held a job suited for their needs? Isn't that huge? That's another great stat. And that comes directly out of Plan C, Glenn Head's book, Plan C. And then, are you a woman earning 77% of what a man makes in the same job? Wow. If that doesn't tell you that there are a lot of women out there working jobs, and I never felt that when I was in the job market. Of course, I was a lawyer, and kind of lawyers get treated all this. There's no, that's another problem with lawyering. Your first 6 years or 7 years in the law firm, you get treated the same as everybody else because you're an associate, you know, and then it's based on how much money you bring to the firm, and that's how you get paid as a partner. But so I didn't have that distinction out there, and I didn't really feel that. But there are plenty of women in the marketplace today that know. They know. There's a lot of discrimination that still exists out there, and the pays are not equal. And so it's, that's an intriguing concept that might help you attract women to your business as well. Okay, so that's kind of trends today, just to understand. And of course, there are plenty more. And if you'd like to donate some of those things, you can forward them to me because I'd love to have more information on the trends today. But again, some of those come out of Glenn's Plan C and as well as just concepts I have and I've been driving myself. The second thing, when he talks about Plan C, what is Plan C? You know, well, you got to understand what Plan A and Plan B is before you get to Plan C. Plan A is just basically your current job that you have or maybe you don't have, right? We all end up in a job somewhere, in a marketplace somewhere, and this is what our work is, and that's Plan A. Plan B becomes, well, if I lose that job, what's the next step I do? Just exactly like my husband. My husband worked for an elevator company in Fort Worth, Texas for years. I mean, he had the same job for like since he was in his early 20s, and then after we got married, he lost his job. And he lost his job because the company shut down and went out of business. And I said, oh, perfect, let's go back to school. Let's retool. My whole idea was retool and do something totally different. Well, my husband looked at me because he's part of the C quadrant, the analyst quadrant, and he thought, I mean, change is something that they're so adverse to, they like go into like anaphylactic shock. And so he just looked at me like I was insane. Like, why would he change what he does? And I'm just thinking, how many elevator companies are out there, right? Well, guess what? It took him 12 months, but he found another elevator company in McKinney, Texas, and now he's working at, and he's been there the whole rest of his life. So, you know, and I go, oh my gosh, that would drive me crazy. But thank goodness the Lord makes us all different, and we learn how to get along together, right? But the important thing is that, you know, he's a perfect classic case of Plan A, then if not Plan A, then Plan B. Find another job in a comparable industry so you could just displace that and put it and go in some other direction. But today what's happening is there isn't, not only isn't there a Plan A job, but there's not a Plan B job either. So you got to start looking at plan C. What if there's no job at all? What if there's really no job, and you sure don't want to fall into the 800 million that are in a job that's not suited for your needs, right? I mean, people take that as a cop-out, but they're never happy. And, you know, I wouldn't want to live this on this earth if I weren't happy. I wouldn't want to be here. So I'm going to be in the pursuit of happiness in my life. I'm going to pursue joy. And, of course, for me, because of my faith, I know where joy comes, but the pursuit of happiness is crucial for all of us. So what do I need to find that makes me happy? So plan C is truly a deliverance from all this plan A, plan B stuff. It's like, be your own boss. Take it on. Do something different. You have an opportunity, an unlimited opportunity in being your own boss. So that's the plan C, and that's exactly what Glenn talks about in his little booklet. It's the plan C. And I loved a couple of the quotes out of the book came out, like, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. And that's very true about not just moving from plan A and plan B to plan C. But I believe this is a very truism that occurs to us in network marketing. If you're out there and you're trying to do Manatech and you keep stumbling and you can't figure out why you can't do it or why it's not working, and you decide that maybe you should quit blaming Manatech or blaming the Texas AG or blaming everything else, and you're going to finally, when you bear yourself to the final bare bones of quit blaming, you might just take a look in a mirror and say, what can I do? How can I change myself? How can I transform myself to be the best I can be in doing this? Because then you finally found the root cause and the root, you know, solution to running in this company like never before. So it's about what do I need to shift? How do I need to shift? And that's what I tell people all the time. I said that's where it starts. It starts right there, right in the mirror. That's where it starts. Now, this is why it's so important that we always tell people they need to be coachable, trainable in order to be effective in network marketing, because if they're not coachable and trainable, they're not going to make it. Or if they do make it, they're going to make it for a second, and then they're going to fall back off because they did it purely on momentum and energy of that they exerted, not who they became in the process. And that's another reason why when people used to ask me, excuse me, my mouth is dry up. When people used to, you know, I loved it when they used to ask me to be on stage after I became presidential in Manatech, and they go, Mary Jo, tell us what it's like to be presidential. And I would, my answer to that question was always this: it's not getting there that's critical for your life; it's who you become in the process. I said, so I want to talk about who I've become in the process. Like, what are the shifts in my life that have allowed me to reach this goal? And that's the neat thing. That's the neat thing about shifts in our lives. How can I be a better person? How can I be a better me? And that's a question that does that question ever get fully answered for you? No. In fact, I think it's the pursuit of that perfection or the pursuit of that goal or the pursuit of being, for me, the pursuit of being Christ-like every moment of my life. And all of those attributes in that process are attributes that help me be the best I can be in what I do in Manatech as well. Because this business is so much a part of sharing and caring and coming from heart and being a great listener. All the things that are exactly that fit Christ-like posture, right? So it's important that we look at ourselves, how do I change myself? And then the J.F. Kennedy, of course, his quote too, change is the law of life. It's the law of life. And I, if I tell my husband this, he won't agree, but he belongs in the job. He belongs in what he's doing. Some people absolutely belong there. And that's just a truth for him. And, you know, I tried for years to help him go through, you know, some self-development work and those kind of things. And, you know, he wasn't going to budge. He attended one champions workshop with Clemmer. That means just the tidbit or the taste of it. But he didn't want to go any further. And he loved what he saw. But I think he has a fear. He carries a little fear because he doesn't know what's on the other side. And for his wife, who has no fears, it was no problem for me. It was like, all I want is what's on the other side. So, next. The third thing, question is, could network marketing, and this is a great thing to ask people when you're working with them, and this is, Glenn puts this in his booklet. He says, you know, ask the question, could network marketing provide you with an opportunity to totally use the gifts you have, make meaningful contributions in this world, and be financially rewarded for doing so? That's a great question. And that's the big question for us. It's the big question we ask people. What if this were the way that you could use all your gifts, make a meaningful contribution in so many ways to so many people's lives, and be financially rewarded for doing exactly that? I love that question. I think that's a great thing you could use in prospecting as well. I think that's, you know, when you get down to the nitty-gritty and you say, well, here's the bottom line as I look at it. This is network marketing can provide you an incredible opportunity to use all the gifts that you have in making incredible, meaningful contributions to many, many people, including children at risk, dying of malnutrition, and also be financially rewarded for doing it. Because people really want to know that if they're going out there, you know, we can do charity work, and that's exactly what social entrepreneurship is. It's about how do I get out there and do massive charity work and get financial reward for doing it. We don't do it for the financial reward. We do it because we love what we're doing. We're driven by the heart and passion of what we are sharing and what we're changing in this world. And as a result thereof, we get incredibly rewarded, right? So that's a neat question to ask. So number four, how are you describing network marketing? That's a good question for you. And there's just a lot of ways that we need to understand how to discuss network marketing with people, that we don't get out there and talk about the old pyramid scheme concepts and things that are old, because network marketing has changed dramatically. I saw the huge shift, you know, and I wrote it down in the outline today about just my attendance at the National Association of Professional Network Marketers. I mean, it shifted me. If there's one major impact that has occurred in my life over the last 2 months, it was that event. That event shifted Mary Jo in a way that said, wow, you know, I always knew myself as a lawyer being a professional, but not network marketing. I mean, I didn't stand up with, you know, and it's not that I walk with pride, you know, but and be proud, prideful, but the idea that network marketing is a profession. I'm in a profession. In fact, to me, it probably has a better reputation than lawyering, right? I mean, and I was in the midst of that. I mean, lawyering has a more sophistication to it, perhaps, because of the training and kind of investment you have to make. By the way, did you know the statistic right now is 40% of the lawyers graduating from law school this year, 2013, are projected to not have a job? Now, how would you like to go through 4 years of undergrad, 3 years of law school, and graduate with all that pain and agony of all those years of school? Because I loved school, but it was painful at times, especially the law part, to not have a job. I mean, geez. Okay, so anyway, but back to my concept. We are a profession. And it's so awesome for me because not only are we a profession, but look what we can do in our profession. We have an opportunity to change every single person's life who we get in contact with because we have no barriers to entry in what we're doing. None. I can find somebody. And we do, every day of our lives, we find people that are scraping and scrapping. They don't have two nickels rubbed together, but for $48, they can become a Manatech associate. I mean, wow, $48? I mean, come on, people. I mean, this is incredible. You can build a multi-million dollar business on a $48 investment. Where else can you do this? Where? Oh, you could be lucky and invest in the right penny stock? Well, good luck. That's one in a zillion opportunities. You could buy $48 worth of lottery tickets. That's one in a zillion, all right? I mean, that's not what network marketing is about. So it's cool. So it's just a great thing, great concept. So use that kind of information to help people and move them forward. Warren Buffett, he talked about Warren Buffett, world-renowned business genius. He owns two direct sales companies and one multi-level marketing company, Pampered Chef. So what do you think? Warren Buffett's an idiot? This guy's one of the most, you know, wealthy people in the world and been a phenomenal investor. Why would he be investing in direct sales companies and network marketing companies if he didn't think that was a wave of the future, right? Absolutely. The Wall Street Journal calls direct sales the ultimate social business model, and that came from a 40-page insert in the Wall Street Journal a few years back. If you want a copy of that, I know I've given it to you in the past. I use it. I've laminated it. What I did is I went through that insert, and I took out about 10 quotes from very famous people, and I put that on the back side of the cover of the insert in the Wall Street Journal. So you got they call it the ultimate social business model on one on the front side, which is the Wall Street insert cover, and on the back side are the 10 quotes. I've attached it. It didn't come into your outline today, but if you go on my manatrain.net website, Lydia put it as an attachment to the outline on the my website. So you can print it off of that. But I suggest you print it off on a color printer and you get it laminated and you carry it with you everywhere you go. I love the use of that because if people start questioning me, I can ask them questions back. And I can say, have you ever heard of the Wall Street Journal? You know, is that like, do you think that's an important business newspaper? Like number one in the country, number one in the world? Right? Think about it. And look at, they dedicated an entire 40-plus page insert to network marketing. And look at some of these guys, and I turn it over. I go, do you respect any of these gentlemen? Do you think they're good businessmen? Stephen Covey, Robert Kiyosaki, I mean, Donald Trump. Are any of these, like, admirable business people? Well, maybe not Donald Trump, but the other ones. Anyway, I'm kidding. But the concept is that you want them to look at that, and that's the support you have for your industry. You know, this is an incredible industry. And then this weekend, this was a great one. This weekend, I skipped over more millionaires from this industry than any other over the past 10 years. Yep. So if you're going to want to make a million, where do you want to go? Go to a place where the million, go to the, if you want to become a Camry, you're going to go to the Camry shop. If you want to become something, you're going to go into the shop where they create them. Well, if you want to become a millionaire, why wouldn't you want to go where the millionaire industry is, where they're ginning millionaires every day of the week, right? That's what you want to do, be a part of that industry that's generating those. And that's what the network marketing industry is. It's more millionaires in this industry than any other in the last 10 years. Department of Labor statistics shows that you are 5 times as likely to reach $100,000 in annual income from network marketing than the job market. That was a statistic that was given this weekend at the Champions training here. Tristan O gave me that statistic. I don't have the cite to that, but I'm getting it. But it's from the Department of Labor statistics showing that you're 5 times as likely to reach. That's cool, isn't it? I never heard that stat before, so that's why I asked Tristan to send me the reference so I could store that in my reference bank. But all these are great. So how are you describing network marketing? Are you bringing up some of these things in your methodology and in your answers to why network marketing today? We need to have those tools. We need to have those kind of answers. And then he talks about in his booklet, he talks about the second source of income, that 58% of us start our business for a second source of income. That's what their Direct Selling Association stats says. So we really need, when we start looking at that, we need to have answers for people in terms of when they have questions about different issues. Because, you know, there's negativity out there around network marketing. We know that. We come up against it from time to time. I happen to enjoy it because every time I hear an objection from somebody, I like to sit back and look at it for what it is. It's an opportunity for me to educate them, because they clearly don't know. And educating them doesn't mean you get frustrated, blow up, and you scream back at them. It means that you just take it and don't take them their question as an insult, even though they might go, is this network marketing? You know, I mean, they use the nasal stuff and in all the gyrations. I just, for me, it's ignorance or it's lack of information or lack of knowledge, right? So for me, it's just, wow, I'm sorry that the person is, you know, really doesn't have the proper knowledge. I feel sorry for him. So I sit back and I go, well, what do you mean by that? So I can really answer their question. So I want you to become prolific at that, right? Because you want to educate people. And if you are sitting there out on this call today and you go, Mary Jo, I have a hard time with network marketing, I want you to work on you first, because that's truly the number one reason why you're not being effective when you come up against people that make those kind of comments, because you just feel you're letting them control what your perception is of reality. And if you just would, I wish you could have sat in the chair with me at this National Convention of Professional Network Marketers. You would have walked away just like, you would have been stunned. You would have walked away and go, my gosh, this is so awesome. I mean, how many organizations can you walk into and see a 29-year-old woman who is a kindergarten teacher now building her third charity, I mean orphanage, in India, because she's the first $100,000 a month earner in her network marketing company? I mean, this is beautiful, people. This is like, these people are changing the world. They have hearts and passions for making a difference. because they know what they strove to get where they are, and they're saying, wow, it's time to give back. Give back in a huge way. They're not building 7 houses and driving 6 different cars. And, you know, it's a, I mean, it's really cool to watch these people and the heart that they have. And so it's just great. So you want to be able to answer the questions about network marketing. Some people, here's some questions that come up that Glenn brought up in the book. He said, you know, some people will walk in and say, well, I know about network marketing companies. You have to get in up front. You ever hear that happen when people say at the beginning? And I start laughing and I go, you know, some of the biggest years Manatech ever had were like 10 years, 9 years after they started. They started in 1994. They broke more presidentials in 2003, 2004, 2005 than any other year in the company, right? So did they have to get in at the beginning? We were breaking presidentials in the first year that the company started. You don't have to be in at the beginning. That's a fallacy. It's only true if something is starting and stopping, which if you want to say there are a lot of people that try to use the network marketing model to take something to the marketplace, which isn't a very good product, because they think the drive of the business and the money will take over instead of the crummy product, right? It's those fancy bottles, like, and I can go into some of the products out in the marketplace today, like MonaV, for instance. I'll just throw that one out there. You know, Manatech did an analysis of that product, and you'd be better off drinking grape juice than drinking MonaV. But it was a really pretty bottle, right? It was a beautiful bottle, and it had a beautiful story behind it. I think it was the Asa Berry story or something. I don't even remember because it's so old to me now when it first came out. But it was totally done on one premise. I have a beautiful bottle, a beautiful story. So clearly, I can sell people out there that will stay in ignorance and just drive them out of pure, let's make money. And that's what happens in network marketing. So does that exist? Absolutely. But that's why people think you have to get in up front, because those companies come and they go. They come and they go. They're here today, gone tomorrow. When that happens, that's why you have to get in up front, because if you don't, it's gone tomorrow. Well, Manatech is a company that's been around since 1994. In fact, next year is our 20-year anniversary. I can't wait for that manifest. Is that going to be awesome? So anyway, so you want to get rid of that. That's a fear-based issue with people. Is it a get-rich-quick scheme? Of course not. In fact, I'm going to tell you this is an incredible business about delayed gratification. And delayed gratification is so crucial for us, is to have delayed gratification. It's a story of life. It's a story of Scripture. It's a story, right? I mean, we're about, you know, we're out there. I was teaching Sunday school class this weekend, and we were talking about, you know, our reward, our concept of being a servant and serving people and being Christ-like all our life is just absolutely part of who we are. Without any expectation, we just know that we have the ultimate reward of all, right? And that's what's so beautiful about it. Talk about delayed gratification. We might get beat up on. We might get all, you know, there are a lot of things that are going to happen in our life. In fact, the Lord basically warned us that walking in his path was not going to be something of like walking on heaven, not till we get there, right? Yeah. So the idea is that we have delayed gratification, but we can be gratified every day of our life because we have the fruits of the Spirit inside of us with our faith. But the idea around this concept of network marketing is that, you know, it's a struggle. How many of us struggled up front? I think I told the story so many times that the first 6 months I was in Manatech, I signed up one person. Now, is that a struggle? I'd say it's a struggle, especially for somebody who was making 6 figures before she gave up everything to do Manatech. It was like I kept questioning more my faith. Like, did I really hear from the Lord that he wanted me to be this miserable? Or, you know, until I, you know, and my big turning point, for some of you this might help you on the call today, but my turning point in my business came when I took the same approach to network marketing as I took to my faith, and I got it the word surrender, which allowed me to be coachable, teachable, and go after what do the gurus know that I don't know yet, because I'm missing something. And that got me into that educable, trainable, coachable, you know, status. And I started reading in my favorite book, and always will be, was John Kalinch's book, is How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM. That book changed my life. But so did some trainings I went to, because I was what? I was willing to learn. I became coachable, trainable. And I had some great teachers back then as well. So it was great. So we need to be coachable, teachable, and it is something that takes time. I mean, getting the $100, $200 check for 6 months when I was working my butt off was not something I was really proud of. But, you know, by the end of my first year, the checks were $4,000. So that made a difference, right? Now, all of a sudden, it was something I could see, well, if it can get to this point, you know, why should I stop here? But it's delayed gratification. But the beauty of it is it's strong residual income, and that's what we really fight for because that's what allows us to have the freedom to do what we want to do every day as we get to that point where we reach presidential and beyond. We don't sell. We educate and inform people how to directly enhance their lives and the lives of others. Great languaging. Huge tax benefits. Of course, I thrive on that because of my background. I love to share those with people. You don't need to store any inventory. That's important to everybody know. And then independence of being your own. These are just things that we want to talk about what is network marketing. And there are plenty other ones. These are just some that I mentioned out of there. Who in network marketing is for? You know, that's a 6 point that I'm making today out of Glenn's book. And he has a whole section, like 4 or 5 pages, on who's network marketing for. Number one, he talked about the 77 million baby boomers, many of whom, they might be trying to retire in the current years, but 75% are still hurtling towards unexpected financial difficulties. In fact, having to have to go back to work, that comes directly out of a Wall Street Journal Retirement Weekly piece from May 30th, 2007. 75% are hurtling toward unexpected financial difficulties, including having to go back to work. So what a huge market for us, right? Now, some of us might say, you know what, I love that market, and I have lots of baby boomers in my organization, but I want some youth in my organization as well, right? Because I want to make sure that it's a legacy for the future, that it helps support my foundation when I'm gone. Because when you think about a plan for your life, your plan for your life shouldn't end the day you retire. Your plan for your life is something that should go on for hundreds of years after you're no longer on this earth. That's what you should plan for. What is my life going to be like? And that's one of the beautiful things about network marketing business is that's something that can be inherited. It can be transferred into a foundation. So it can sustain an activity years beyond your life. So some of you need to look at that and maybe that's going to be for you a new vision for you that you can drive in your life. That once you become financially stable through your networking business, you know that you have a vehicle now that you can put into a foundation and that will fund that foundation for hundreds of years after you're no longer here, right? Beautiful concept. So think about that and put that into vision search for yourself. What do you want that to look like? How do you want to help change the world besides the stomping out global malnutrition, which is really Sam's vision and the vision this company has today? According to the U.S. marketplace firm, U.S. placement firm Manpower, 84% of all American workers were looking for another job in 2011. Do you get that statistic? That is huge. I was wowed by that one. That is gigantic. So do you think we have a place for them? Yeah, but notice they're looking for another job. This is their plan A, from plan A to plan B. We got to open up plan C for them, but they're looking, which is great, which opens a door, a possibility for you. That's why you want to be the best you can be in doing a proposal to them and a presentation that really entices them to move forward. The current longevity of a job is less than 3 to 5 years, while those who start a new business show that 50% are still in business 5 years later. 50% are still in business 5 years later. So starting a small business, you have greater longevity than getting a job. And then review Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrants. We've gone over that many, many times. So that's something that you can, again, look at and review and make sure you have down. And I've sent that to you, that color chart, a number of times. If you need it again, let us know. But we keep sending those things out. He goes through another list, and I'll just give you some of the other categories of people that he reviews in here. He talks about healthcare professionals are particularly well-suited, right, because many companies today are focusing on the booming field of wellness. Teachers are an absolute great group. Yesterday we had a number of teachers in that room, and I can just see what's going to happen. I mean, they're perfect for this business because what are we doing? We're educating people. Remember what I just said early on? We educate people is what we do. We educate people. We help them. We don't sell. We educate people, right? Inform people of how to directly enhance their lives and the lives of others. That's a perfect. Small business owners are great because they're already out of a plan A and plan B. They've already walked away from that. They've decided, hey, I'm going out and doing my own thing. Seniors are great. Because just because you retire, even if you're not one of the baby boomers that has to continue working, that doesn't mean you stop, you know, contributing in some way. So seniors love to be involved. They love to stay active. Mothers who need flexibility can thrive as network marketers, and that's a huge thing. You have the Mana Sisters are a great reflection of that. They have lots of kids, and they're doing a great job in this business. Couples are often very, very successful. 77% of the profession are married, according to the Workforce Survey. Is that incredible? 77% of network marketers are married. But that doesn't mean that you're doing the business as a couple. I'm a clear reflection of that. My husband loves his job, and that's a real – and you know what? I couldn't be happier. I'm married to a man who loves his job. Woohoo! Praise God for that. So I don't hear the whining and complaining every night when he comes home. He loves his job, and I'm ecstatic. And because he's a C, I really don't want him in my business anyway. I'm excited that he's in his own business. He keeps talking about retirement because he turns 64 soon, and he says, maybe I can retire and come and work for you. And I go, I don't think so. I said, let's preserve the marriage. It's real cute. I mean, I love him to death, but, you know, we probably wouldn't do very well together because he's a funny guy. That C quadrant tends to like to, you know, let's get the work done, let's do it serious, get focused, da-da-da-da. Whereas the promoter side of me says, if I don't have fun at it, I don't want to do it, right? I want joy in my life. I want to have fun doing it. So the two of us, we can't even, like, we tried to remodel a bedroom in our house one time when my stepdaughter was moving in way back. I mean, I'm talking years ago, over what, 15 years ago maybe at this point in time, or 12 years ago. And we came upstairs, and I picked out all the stuff, you know, we started to work on it, and he was so fussy because I was laughing or I'd giggle or I'd try to hug him or something. I mean, he would just rebuke me and was like, honey, we can do that later. We got to get the work done now. Let's get this finished, and then we can play. And I was like, oh, my gosh, out of this room. I said, you're either doing it or I'm doing it, but the two of us are not doing this together. So fun. All right, young people ages 18 to 29, they make up about 14% of the profession in the United States. Did you know that? 14% of our profession, network marketing, are made up by young people 18 to 29. And it's great. And these are people that don't want to go by the 40-40, what is it, the 40-40 plan or something? You work 40 years so you can make 40% of what you made. In, you know, before, that's crazy, the 40-40 plan, get out of that routine. So that's it. But they have a great network of friends, so those young people are great to get involved. So those are just some of the groups that he goes over. So that's, and then in Glenn's book, he also covers how to choose the right company, and of course, this is all aimed at Manatech. In fact, the two intro pieces are that he puts in the book are written by Sam Castor and Al Bala. So you can tell the book is clearly about doing Manatech. But he talks about how to choose the right company and how to succeed in the business. So that's it. That's his plan C. So hopefully you guys enjoyed, whether you get the book or not. I mean, I you know, Glenn's just a great guy. I enjoy him, and I love Mary, and they've both been friends of mine for years. I just wanted to suggest to you that this has got a lot of good information. The outline does as well. Add some of these things to what you're doing today to be as proficient as possible, because what you are, you just want to become that attractor factor. And you have the most phenomenal products in the industry. You already know that. So what's stopping us, right? I mean, that's the question you ask. What's stopping me, and how can I be better? How can I just tweak something, add something, and increase my results through that? All right, everybody, great. Any questions or comments? Did anyone learn anything today? Did you pick up some pointers? Maybe use a highlighter to say, wow, I could use this in what I'm talking about or what I'm saying to people.
Hey, Joe. This is Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy.
Yeah, I try to get that attachment, and I don't see it anywhere on your site.
It's not. It should be attached to the, if you look at the PDF, that's for the outline for today. Lydia said she posted the PDF, and if you print that off or you look at it, go to the end of it, she should have the front and back of that network, of the Wall Street Journal piece. You can't find it there?
Oh, no, I went clear to the bottom, and there's nothing.
There's nothing there. Okay, well, this is what, who, Ann, is that you?
Yeah, I don't see it either.
You don't see, okay, you know what I'll do, everybody? I will send it out to everybody on the Monday call list independent. How's that?
Okay, great. So, one more question. What's the name of Glenn's book?
It's called Plan C. That's the name of it, Plan C. Just go to his website, okay? Plan C. That's what he calls it. Okay? Easy as can be. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Great. Thanks, Rudy. Thanks, Ann. Anyone else? Okay,
great
everybody.
Today, Mary Jo, I'm looking forward to hearing from what Tristan O sends you.
Where he gets that statistic, where that information came from. That was a great piece of information. I was shocked. I sat there and I said, wow, I've never heard that before. Five times as likely to make $100,000 in income by joining, the business. I was like shocked. I said, it was funny that where did that information come about network marketing? So that's cool. So great. I'll send it out when I get it. But we have that. That's an email that I thought Lydia had picked it up because when I was talking to Tristan about it on Saturday morning, Lydia came by and she says, "Oh, I already have all that." And I said, "Oh, okay." And this morning when I was talking to her, I said, "Okay, now where do you have this?" And she said, "Oh, I thought you talked about his slideshows." And I said, "No," I'm like miscommunication, right? Anyway, but I will get it from him. I'm sure Tristan will get that to me, and I'll send that out as well. Well, thanks, Michael.
Great, thanks.
You bet. Anyone else? Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great week. And don't forget, work on your, we're getting close to that manifest. I just pray that we see incredible people there because I know what a joy it's going to be for all of us to attend. So, all right, love you guys. Talk to you next week.